movie talking for four guys.
Four guys Boo-boo! Talking films.
Hey, you guys, look. I know I'm just the dude that carries the bags, but it seems to me we all play an important part in this group. I mean, we're just like a big, delicious banana split. Fred, you're the big banana. Daphne, you're the pastrami and bubblegum-flavored ice cream. And Velma, you're the sweet and sour mustard sauce that goes on top. Mm-mm.
Still looking. There are a lot. Oh my gosh. I'm only halfway through. I'm not re.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 392. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. He would have gotten away with it, too, Dunaway.
You darn kids.
Mm. And Pamela Anderson, what are you doing here?
Yeah. Oh, hi.
Hi.
This week on Film Sack, the gang invites you to hop on into their shaggin' wagon for a total PG ride down to the coast to help us solve the mystery of Scooby-Doo 2002. In the case of there's something rotten about these tomato scores, man. Hey, Sackers in the back, mind your manners and be careful around Randy's vegetarian hash bar. Randy Roo, how high are you? Scott, up here, can you pull over?
Yeah.
I got to take care of a situation brewing in my pants. Mm. Earlier, Ibbot and I were having a not-so-friendly farting contest. And I think there may be a disembodied turtle head leaking protoplasm into my Scooby-Doo underoos. If you know what I mean. Wait! Come back! Friends don't quit!
Ooh. Wow.
Turtlehead.
Yeah, all over the place, yet brilliant as always.
Yeah, it's something.
It's something. Also with us, Randy Ramburgers Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
Randy.
And thank you, everyone. We really appreciate your praise. It all started when I had a great idea for a podcast that Scott told me. That's right, you know what? This movie, it really brought us together, and I just can't do this ego thing anymore. Mm. It's important that I stop thrusting myself out in front of the whole Film Sack team. Mm. So I'm going to ask you to please turn your attention to the most beautiful and brainy of the four of us. No, well, okay, yes, that's also me. What I'm trying to say is I need to stop talking and let this individual who's wearing a tiny, sexy vermilion skirt with the apricot turtleneck sweater speak for us. Go ahead, Brian Ibbot.
A crush.
Nice.
It's like a typical Saturday night at Ibbot's
house. There you go. Wearing purple. Also with us, and just talked about him, let's make it official. Brian Creepy CGI Face Ibbot.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
Jeez, Scoob, here we are, stuck on this spooky island trying to find the ghost that's haunting this creepy amusement park. At least I met Mary Jane. Have I mentioned that's my favorite name? Anyway, Scoob, we've got to go weed through the clues so that we can smoke out the bad guy. You'd have to be a dope to think we'd just sit here on this cushion listening to the Doobie Brothers and not help our friends. I mean, I know we have a chronic case of fear, but you're my bud, and we gotta tell the bad guy that his ass is grass. But first, I'm hungry. Could you help me open this can of bisque?
Wow.
Can of bisque. Can you buy bisque in a can? Is that a thing you can do, though? Can I go to a store?
I imagine Campbell's has bisque in a can.
Some kind of bisque? All right. Well, then that makes it the perfect intro. Well done. That was amazing.
Willard passes away, you got it.
Yeah.
I've got to send you my draft for that greeting. It didn't occur to me to be Shaggy, though. I was like trying to come up with all the puns, and I couldn't figure out whose voice to put them in. And I was thinking about going all the rear.
if it went full
I'm glad
Shaggy.
We went in different directions.
Yeah, full Shaggy. You never want to go full Shaggy, but you did it anyway. And I think it's great that you did. By the way, it sounded an awful lot like this.
Oh yeah,
a little bit like Justin impressions.
Does,
yeah,
does Shaggy
pretty all good. Right. Anyway, the movie is Scooby Doo. It is 2002's Scooby Doo, and not 100% sure. If this is true, but I think it might be the first, well, certainly in a long time that we've done a PG rated film. It's been a long time, I think.
It has been a while. Yeah. I didn't think about that. You're right. It was very PG. And I felt it.
Yeah.
I felt it.
Yeah, I felt it too. The original plan for this thing was not to be so PG. It was supposed to be a little darker. They were going to poke fun at the original series a bit more. They were aiming for PG-13. Shaggy was going to be an actual stoner, not just veiled references to the fact that he was probably a stoner. And Velma and Daphne had a side relationship, a little bit of a lesbian action there.
Oh,
going
really?
On.
Wow, they really...
Yeah, they were going to go like the Dukes of Hazzard style. Like,
just, I kind of wish they would have done that. I wish they would have gone all the way, you know? Like, the Brady Bunch did that and did it really well, where they made fun of their Brady Bunchiness.
Yeah.
I think the Brady Bunch plays to that. I think that would have just destroyed this. I don't think it would
have. And
well.
So did the studio.
Yeah.
And ultimately it came all the way up to Warner Brothers saying, no, you're giving us an edit that's PG.
Right.
Right.
And yeah, so that's what it. Got.
I'm a little surprised you can get away with, at least in 2002 and maybe even today, as much Sarah Michelle Gellar cleavage and still stay 13 or PG and not 13. I don't know why that struck me.
I read some weird trivia that says that there was some CGI downplaying of lady boobs.
So this comes to James Gunn, and I think this is our first James Gunn film. Is that right?
Yes.
Earliest one.
We haven't done Slither yet, so you're right. So, I believe.
So I want to just admit something. Mm. Despite the fact that I've seen all of the movies, I never knew that James Gunn was a person who existed until about 3 months ago.
Well, more than that. You knew it in 2013.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
You got to remember, I don't watch trailers, and I definitely don't watch like The Tonight Show and stuff like that. Yeah. So I came along one day and opened up Twitter, and it was like, James Gunn. I'm like, I don't know who that is. Mm. And then, directed Guardians of the Galaxy movies. Okay, well, I saw them. I just never really thought about this person.
Mm. Well, and I knew him from now the Slither days. Know the Slither was like, a cool movie. That was a great movie. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, now I know he's like a crazy edgelord, and we're able to go back in time to 2002. And see the beginnings of his edgelordiness. And I'm not sure that I believe all this trivia. I guess Ibbot hasn't read it, but Gunn has been making claims the last few years about Scooby-Doo.
Oh,
about how they made an R-rated film with nudity and so on.
Right? Oh.
And then they had to edit it and CGI it out.
Is that true?
I think he's a little tongue-in-cheek. I think that he's just... spreading that.
Well, maybe it was the tongue in the cheek that put it over the R rating. I don't know, man.
Right.
Depends on whose tongue and whose cheek.
Yeah, where that cheek was located geographically. But anyway, the James Gunn, prominence did happen with the first Guardians movie for sure.
The Guardians movie. That's where I first heard the name James Gunn was after the first Guardians movie.
Yeah.
That was like, all right. That's a completely different tone than any other Marvel movie. I love it. Mm-hmm. Who did that?
Yeah. And for me, it was Slither. I knew who he was from that. He directed and wrote it, and I thought that movie was super cool. It's a great little horror movie. We should watch it on the show sometime. I think it is Slither, right?
Yes, it is Slither. I saw that at the theater, and I remember seeing it back in the day and going, wow, this is different.
It's out there. Yeah, it's pretty good. And then I always knew his brother, because this is embarrassing, but I would watch the Gilmore Girls with my wife. And,
that's not embarrassing.
His brother, Tim Gunn. No, not Tim Gunn. That's the British designers. Not that guy.
His brother, Tommy Gunn.
It's the other guy. I can't think of his name. But he's also in the Guardians movies. He plays one of...
Francis Gunn? James?
I can't remember his name. He plays Kirk on the Gilmore Girls. Anyway, so I went down that rabbit hole and was like, oh, these guys are brothers and look at them working together and all this. So I kind of had a thing, and he's been in the news lately because everybody dug up his old tweets, and they were all kind of rude and lewd and and they fired him from tattooed. The third thing, and now you got he got Drax threatening not to be in it, and it's a big stinky stink. Yeah. But
that's not why we did Scooby-Doo.
No,
Scooby-Doo just showed up on our list.
Right.
It's perfect for this, for what we do. Like, and I feel like James Gunn making a PG film, not making, writing, you know, inserting all of this weirdness into this PG film, and it doesn't really end up being good. Yes, do we agree?
Yeah.
It doesn't really...
I think so. It's not enough of anything in any direction. It either needs to be, all right, go full on, embrace the cartoon and just be a live action version of the cartoon, or make jokes about the stereotypes of the four characters.
I agree. From our recent, I'm going to disagree, because I think from our recent viewing, we've seen what happens when a movie goes to full embrace or beyond. Okay, so
So
let's say we went with the Flintstones. I think maybe they didn't go far enough in the right direction. And then you look at Speed Racer, and I'm like, okay, you went too far. And I feel like from the original spirit, the source material, I feel like this was pretty good.
If you're a 10-year-old kid, I think mm-hmm. Scooby-Doo is great. Like, if I was 10 and this was right. a movie,
if you wanted a movie, right. Okay, so if you want to continue the franchise of Scooby-Doo to continue to aim at the target audience has always been targeted towards, which is how I think it shouldn't be done in the way it was done.
Right.
Yeah. But if you're thinking, we need to capitalize on the nostalgia and serve this to the now adults who were appreciations for, you know, Scooby-Doo back in the 70s,
sure,
then that would be a totally different movie, and I would not have enjoyed that.
I'm going to agree with you that that's what they did. You know, the separation you're making is a correct one, but I'm going to agree with Ibbot that I think I would have enjoyed it more had they really leaned into the other stuff, because I am an adult, and I would have preferred that now. If I was 10, I wouldn't, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. if I'm who I am now, I would be like, yeah, really lean in on the fact that these guys were stoners and that Ascots are dumb and Scrappy-Doo's the worst character ever. And they did actually a pretty good job of the Scrappy-Doo thing, I think. I think the Scrappy-Doo thing was kind of brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, the CGI was the only thing that really hurt them on that. And that was just a technical issue of the time. By the way, really quickly, James Gunn, four brothers, has four brothers. Patrick Gunn is a senior VP at Artisan Entertainment. Brian Gunn is a screenwriter who works with in partnership with their cousin Mark Gunn. Brian and Mark wrote the MTV movie together and are executive producers of the same upcoming TV series, the same name. Matt Gunn wrote and starred in the winner of the 1997 Sundance Film Festival. And Sean Gunn is the one you write exactly. Starred in Angel and Gilmore Girls and all that.
Yeah. And now, and he's great in the two. He had an even bigger role in Guardians too. I like him in Guardians a lot. He's great. Mm-hmm. So
I just want to say I actually have an 8-year-old, and this has been a strange year for us in FilmSack. Now I realize he's older than he was, you know, 3 and 5 years ago when we were watching lots of movies for FilmSack. But for whatever reason, this last year we've watched Gremlins, and like you said, you know, we watched Batman, Speed Racer, and so on. And we're starting to hit, you know, some PG movies where I'm like, oh, I could watch this with my kid. Mm-hmm. He loved this movie. He was attached, like from the eyeballs to the screen. He was attached to this film. And it gives you a different perspective. I don't think it helps you as an adult to see it through the eyes of an 8-year-old, because the movie, you're then going, oh, wow, this movie really panders with the visuals, with the sounds, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And where do we lay it at? We lay it at an amusement park on an island. I mean, the whole thing is just...
Yeah. The color scheme is like Son of Flubber. It's just like...
Yeah.
You know, this is so aimed at where it's aimed, and I think it probably gets right where it needs to be, and it was enough to make a sequel, despite what we may think of it now.
And not only a mm-hmm. sequel, but two Cartoon Network shows that really didn't have any of the original cast.
Why are we attaching those to these movies? Is it because, like, the producers of the films are also owning the TV shows?
No, I think it's just because it created a renewed interest in the franchise, and so mm-hmm. they made
are the
new stuff.
Dunaway, are the made-for-TV movies, are they live action? Same kind of thing?
Live action. Yeah, it's that mixed, you know, 3D with live action. Correct. Yeah, correct.
And Roger Rabbit style.
Sure.
Yeah. And I mean, if you didn't like this, you're probably not going to like the others.
No. So. No, I didn't see those, but I have a feeling those are real bad.
It's this without the money behind it.
Right, exactly.
I feel like my kid watched a series called a film called Scooby-Doo the Mystery Begins, and it was all animated.
Right.
This was after the movie.
There's been plenty of renewed interest in Scooby-Doo over the last 10-15 years, and so we've seen some movies spawn from that, as well as a new TV series. And
is either one airing now or
comic?
Yeah,
Is it still running? That's a good question.
There was something coming, or it's already here. I can't remember, but it's more of a modern take on it. Like the style is a little more. I don't know. I wouldn't call it Teen Titans. It's kind of like that, like Teen Titans Go a little bit from what I saw. But I don't remember when I saw this. This could have been years ago. I don't remember.
It was recent. It's What's New Scooby-Doo. Mm, okay. And apparently I believe it is still, let's see. I think that one has completed its run. Maybe that's the one I'm getting confused with. Let me see, which one is this one?
Yeah, see, that would be the only way I'd continue watching any Be Cool further Scooby-Doo.
Is that it?
Be Cool Scooby-Doo?
I think it might be it.
Anyway, any further Scooby-Doo stuff, the only way I'd watch it is if they did it as a Teen Titans, Powerpuff Girls style.
Well, good luck, animation. Because that's exactly what they got in Be Cool.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Good. That sounds wonderful. But they've had some kind of weird 2-hour animated movies, like Return to Something Island or, junk like that.
Oh, those were, they were coming straight to video for a long time.
They yeah.
Oh, look at this. Okay. Adventures. Wow. I'm not sure. Cool, it's Scooby-Doo. Like the artwork is kind of like a weird Family Guy meets this is weird.
It is weird,
but it's fun. Weird. It's fun. I've watched a little bit of it. It wouldn't keep you interested for long, but it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
I want to hit a reset button though on this thing. We all grew up watching the original series, sure. Right?
Well, reruns of it mostly, but yeah, they weren't really like, making new ones when we were kids. But.
What are your memories of that?
Great times to be alive.
I mean, bowl of cereal,
right, exactly.
Spooky house, they gotta look around, turns out the ghost is really old man what's his face, and
yeah.
I mean, it really scary. Is the formula that just is repeated with the same thing, just different location and different ghosts.
Yeah, and the thing, and they make fun of it in this movie, but the thing at the end where it's like I would have succeeded too if it wasn't for you kids and that stupid dog, like that was in every episode. Right. They always laughed at the end, and it was Scooby going hee hee because he did something dumb.
I will, right? You know what? I will bet you it isn't. I will bet you it's like Where Are My Dragons? And when you actually watch the original series, the unmasking of the old man Smithers only happens a couple of times.
What?
It happening.
Nah,
every episode.
I think that happened every episode.
We started
then it demystify
right
away from the supernatural to the natural world, and they had to. Do that every episode.
Yeah, every episode was about a supernatural thing happening. In fact, this movie kind of breaks that rule, and it kind of bums me out.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
because the X-Files with a dog,
right?
I don't have clear memories. I just remember that there was a real Wizard of Oz thing going on with every episode of Scooby-Doo, and it wasn't always that clean one bad guy thing where you pull a mask off or whatever. Like I felt like the very opening scene of the movie did a good job of summarizing a lot of episodes, but it just like, when I remember back to Scooby-Doo, the original series, it was like, we're going on a wacky vacation with the Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh, you're talking about the later.
There
stuff.
Wasn't.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. The later stuff.
The whole series before that.
Yeah. But the oldest series was the thing we described pretty well. What you're describing is kind of here comes Scooby Dumb, here comes Scrappy Doo, here comes the Globetrotters. Like here's all the crossover with the other Hanna-Barbera stuff.
Was that the difference between just playing Scooby Doo and Scooby Doo Where Are You? Because there was the TV show called Scooby Doo Where Are You, and I don't think that was the original.
I think it was, wasn't it? Let me look. I'm pretty sure that's the original 1969. Yeah. Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?
Okay, so the original one was Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? And then it was like, Right. Yeah. Scooby-Doo. Oh, yeah. Then you get it exactly. Then you get the ABC stuff, which is the Scooby-Doo show and Scooby-Doo's All-Star right. Laugh Olympics.
Yeah. F that. Yeah. F.
And that's what Randy remembers, I think.
Yeah. There's also a Scooby-Doo. Where did they go? Oh no! Wait. I'm sorry. This is a. This is a video about where did the characters go.
Shaggy and Scooby-Doo get a clue. Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated. There's the Be Cool Scooby-Doo. There's something even more recent than that called Scooby-Doo and Guess Who.
Oh,
I haven't seen that one. What is that one?
That sounds terrible.
That is on May 23rd, 2018, Boomerang announced that a new Scooby-Doo series,
Scooby-Doo
and Guess Who, is scheduled to be released sometime in 2019. The series is currently slated to air on the Boomerang service. Mystery Inc. gang teaming up with a variety of guest stars. Oh boy, including Halsey, Sia, Bill Nye,
yes.
And this guy.
Now that is
the guest Campbell. Stars. The That's guest reasonable. Stars. They need to Urkel. Only. They need to only be Burton Cummings, Randy Bachman, and Gary Peterson. Yeah. Those are the only guest stars allowed.
Yeah, sound like gonna go,
in this series.
They're going to go Neil a little
DeGrasse
further.
Tyson.
Oh, wow.
Someone write me and tell me you get that joke.
They might. Someone will. Yeah. Hey, the thing is, that sounds like the one I heard about now that you're mentioning it. I think it hadn't come out yet, and I think that's it. And that sounds kind of terrible. Like,
kind of does. Yeah. Are they going to...
The Love Boat.
I mean, it's got to be... So it's going to be animated Sia walking around with, like, hair in front of her face.
Yes.
Sia, we got to go find the ghost. We...
Then she'll
I
say,
"I can't see where I'm going. Watch out for the chandelier. Look out for the chandelier."
For some reason, I feel like the only episode of the newer Adventures of Scooby-Doo, when they were doing all the guest stars and stuff, I feel like Ibbot only saw the episode with Cher. Is that accurate?
Is that true? Is she on there?
I totally saw the Harlem Globetrotters one.
Right.
Who else? Wasn't there Dom DeLuise?
What do you mean the one? Yeah. Like I would give you the one if it was like Elvira. I feel like there were 17 episodes of Scooby-Doo with the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah. Because it was Harlem Globetrotters were on everything else. They were on one episode of Scooby-Doo, and then they were on the Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
And then they were on
Everything. Love Boat, everything.
And then they ended up on Fantasy Island.
Now, Gilligan's Island, wasn't that the actual movie where they were getting off?
Yes.
The island?
And somehow the Harlem Globetrotters helped them get off the island.
Yeah. I like that. Is that the one where they were getting off the island? I'm glad that you
right. Yeah, I was like,
well, man, no, I was like, sorry. I'm sorry. Nice. They actually left the island. Oh. They weren't planning it. They were actually on like a grass and bamboo type boat or something.
Oh, here's a list. By the way, here's a list. So Harlem Globetrotters actually had their own Hanna-Barbera series, and that also might be why you're thinking that they were on all the time. Right. But they also had the special guest Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God, I love those.
Sandy Duncan.
Wow.
Oh.
The Addams Family, Cass Elliot, Mama Cass from The Mamas and the Papas, Phyllis Diller, Don Knotts, and the Three Stooges.
Perfect.
I do remember Don Knotts being on there.
Yeah. I absolutely remember Don Knotts. I think
they drew his big old bug eyes. I mean, just had like outrageous bug eyes.
Andy!
Yeah, he's great. Here's
Cass Elliot. That's a weird Sandy Duncan is a weird one to pull from.
And most of the celebrity actors would hang out like Fred and Daphne, but it seems like I remember Don Knotts hanging out with Scooby and Shaggy.
Yeah.
Because they all kind of fit into that category.
He's a goofball.
Yeah, a little bit goof. Yeah.
Here's here, by the way, is a bit of the theme from the original 1969 cartoon, just for reference. Here you go. It's very reminiscent of what I remember. It's just them hiding in a house, running across the room to the same door. The other guy just exited.
Knights and ghouls.
Are you sure? Are you sure they started the original theme was reggae? Because I feel like the reggae was a variation on the original.
I don't think
theme.
This is reggae. Hold on.
No, that was 1969, man.
Yeah,
that wasn't reggae.
If the drum beat followed the staccato guitar, then it would be reggae. But it's
that's not reggae. That's more like that's close. Partridge Family era stuff, is what that is.
Right,
just kind of like bad drums and shitty guitars and all that. But I remember this as reruns, and then it was our generation that had it forced upon it the whole Scrappy Doo era. And I remember thinking Scrappy Dumb was, or Scooby Dumb was kind of funny because he didn't really say anything. He was just stupid.
Yeah.
But then.
But you could actually understand him easier than Scooby-Doo. So.
Yeah.
Figured that out.
But then, yeah, that made no sense. But then you got, by the way, voiced in this film by Frank Welker. We always get him in movies, mm-hmm. it feels like. Mm-hmm. He also did all the creature voices and stuff. But that's when it got started getting bad. And I feel like even as a kid, I knew that that was bad. Like, yeah. I knew Scrappy-Doo was a mistake. I was sure of it.
Oh, yes. Oh, we all hate it. Well, that's the reason. Now, that was the one thing that was, I think, aimed at our generation, was to bring along Scrappy-Doo. And it was actually to make him the bad guy, to make him the foil of this entire thing. And they even tried. What really made me mad, though, was I was fine with him being the bad guy. But then at the very end, they wanted to kind of leave it open that he could come back because he was under the influence of the Necrocomicon or whatever. He's like, what was it? Was it Necrocomicon? It was the
Necrocomicon.
What was it? It was the what was the device they had? The Hellraiser puzzle box.
Dark hold.
Yeah. But anyway, had a dark hold on. Like, it wasn't his fault.
The Damon Reedus.
Damon Reichus, right? Yeah, right. I think that's
the
right.
Damon Reichus. What are we saying?
Damon Riker. That's what it was. It was Damon Riker.
Damon Reedus.
Damon Reedus. You got it. It was the Damon Reedus. That's what it was.
I have a bad case of that. It's a problem.
There's a piece of trivia that someone wanted to do the movie and then walked off and refused to do it when he found out that Scrappy-Doo was in the script.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't buy that.
Is that true? Like, that's hilarious if that's true. I love that.
It's like you just can't, you cannot overstate how much all Caucasian American men freaking hate Scrappy-Doo. We have this genetic predisposition to hate this character so much.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to compare it to in like entertainment.
I know what it is. I know what it is.
He's the character, you know, the character archetype in horror movies that always ends up, you know, you're always trying to hold him back. It's like, no, you're gonna get us all screwed over, and he just did that every time.
Well,
would it be blasphemous for me to say he's like the new kid, the youngest kid on Modern Family, Jay and Gloria's new kid who's precocious and
yes, no, that's what I'm gonna say. I think that's exactly what he is. He's not crucial to anything. He's just this obnoxious little shit. Like, it's right. He just comes in and going, hey, I know what to do. We're going to. So he's always jumping out when he's not supposed to. He's always pushing something when he shouldn't. Like, he's just a little piece of rotten garbage. I hate that dog.
It was a character that that was kind of played with during the 80s. Almost every show had one. You had Brainy Smurf in the Smurfs. And so you have all these characters that end up through their defiance pulling you into conflict. And we don't need it. We hated it. We hated that character. It was easy enough for Scooby and Shaggy to, you know, be driven to food to create the conflict. We didn't need Scrappy-Doo.
Also, it goes against type because Scooby-Doo and even Scooby-Dum were weird because they kind of could communicate with people and kind of could talk, but it was a lot of ruh-roh and things like that because there was always a rough in there. And that was a consistent canonical thing. You bring on this little garbage puppy who's got full use of the English language. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, so just crush him under the van.
He was
the
evolution, right? He was the next step in evolution for these Great Danes, right?
What? is that the...
Wasn't he just one of like... I seem to remember, and I'm trying to remember good examples of this, but like in 80s cartoons, 70s, 80s cartoons, if they felt like the show was getting stale, they felt like they had to add a new character. I mean, Simpsons even made fun of this with the whatever that dog.
Was the it cool dog? Yeah, the Simpsons did that. Homer had created a character.
Yeah, like a dog with sunglasses or something. Right.
You remember that, right? That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
to reinvigorate the series, yes, you add a new character. It's a cheap, easy way to do it, and you make them hip and cool. That was much more, I think, 90s fair than the 80s, though, wasn't it? But
I don't know.
I think we were aiming a lot of times, like after Star Wars, we saw that a lot of our stuff that we were watching, they would inject a robot You know, it's like, oh, right. You know what? This needs needs a droid or a robot. So
I mean, isn't Jar Jar kind of the Scrappy of the Star Wars universe?
He
Scrappy
really is.
Yeah.
He really
you
is.
Know what? There
yes
you go.
No.
That's a good one, too. I think that's a good comparison.
It's really hard to explain, though. Like, I realize I'm kind of on the record as saying I don't trust Bill Hanna or Joe Barbera's instincts and as far as I can pick them. Like, I get that. Like, it's just not a great idea. But there's something else there about the obnoxiousness of it that it just transcends things that seriously, just walk out into public with a recording device and ask people. Like, just ask them, what's your least favorite character from animated TV shows?
Yeah.
And I'll bet you Scrappy Doo comes up like 70% of the time.
Yeah. Pretty quick. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, if this was a question on Family Feud, you know, it'd be like the number one answer, right?
Yeah. Somebody thought it was funny. They were just wrong. Like, they're just wrong.
Right.
Exactly.
And it's okay. It's okay to admit it. It's fine. Whoever did that, whoever's idea it was, whether it was the Hanna dudes or the Barbera guys or somebody else in the room who thought that, hey, you know what the kids are into? Obnoxious little troublemakers like this dog. It's okay to admit you screwed up. It's fine. It was a late night. All living on pizza and coffee. Right. I get it.
It even took me. You know, I was aging out, but it also detracted me from even wanting to see a pup named Scooby-Doo because I was so convinced
that it was just going to be Scrappy.
It was just if Scooby-Doo was a kid, then he would just be like Scrappy-Doo, just a little too Scrappy. Yeah.
Did they ever have like a little cute sidekick on like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Transformers or
not really?
No,
Orko, was there an Orko of Transformers?
No, not in Transformers. They were the human kids were the.
Yeah, but here's where they screwed up. Now, Brian brings up a good point. In He-Man, you have Orko. In Thundercats, you had Snarf. So you had these dumb characters, and they were always in there, and it's an accepted thing. In Scooby-Doo, even though it was named after him, Scooby-Doo is that character. So when they brought Scrappy-Doo in, they're breaking the law. It's like, you've already got your little sidekick comic relief. You don't need to add another layer in there. It just pushes Scooby to the side.
Oh, look, you open up this Russian nesting doll and there's another little Russian nesting doll inside
it.
Only it's not identical to the previous one, only smaller. It's totally different.
Yeah,
imagine if you opened up a Russian nesting doll and inside was a smaller scorpion. And you're like, what the hell?
It's trying to fight you, too. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah.
With all that said,
yeah,
I gotta say, Matthew Lillard was the star of this movie.
He's the best cast for sure, right?
Right.
I think best cast. I think Linda Cardellini's good casting. I think the worst casting is Fred.
He's really
Freddie
bad.
Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah. I enjoyed it, but
I wanted to come up with like some ideas of who would have been better and who was popular at the time. I think Hayden Christensen for me was at the top of the list.
Wow.
Like, who would have been awesome. A better Fred?
That would have been great.
He would have been all right. Fred was more hunky than this shows.
I think Freddie Prinze Jr. is pretty hunky. You don't think he's hunky?
No, he's kind of small and spindly. He's fine. I mean, I don't have anything.
He's hunky. I like him.
I don't think he fits it. And also, I think I
agree that they could have done better, but I also think that they did just fine. I think he did an okay job.
I mean, because he is the most vanilla piece of cheesecake you're ever going to see.
Which is what Fred is.
Well, no, I'm saying that's what Fred is, so it's a hard character to cast for is what I'm saying.
It is.
Because no matter what, when you're casting for somebody, you're looking for somebody who's going to bring something exciting and dynamic to a role. But your source material is the most white bread piece of flaky toast you ever ate. You know, like Fred is ridiculous. Fred has always been ridiculous that way. And everyone else has
Freddy.
The color. Yeah, no, I know.
You can't just hire him because his name is Freddy.
Right.
Well, and even his IMDb photo looks like he's bored with Freddie Prinze Jr.
Right.
when the movie started and we first lay eyes on him, it was kind of jarring because he doesn't look like Fred to me. But also, it was a moment of remembering, oh, wow, he used to be famous. Like, he used to be a thing.
Yeah, the whole crew.
Mm-hmm. Like, what is the deal? Like, how does a guy like Freddie Prinze Jr. make all these movies, and he's really high, like, A-list actor for such a brief time, and then we're like, we're over him?
Yeah, people are still, there are more Sarah Michelle Gellar projects in the works than there are Freddie Prinze Jr.
For sure.
Projects, without a question. The last thing he really did was... 2014 Star Wars Rebels, but
You do have to give him credit. Oh, that's right. He was in Rebels. You also got to give him credit. He and Michelle Geller married since 2002, a Hollywood marriage.
That would have been my full-time job. Yeah. I would have quit too. I'm just married to Michelle. That's all I'm doing.
And that's the thing. Like, we always have to remember that these aren't slaves. Like, they can make some money and go, okay, I'm done. They're not bound to keep making movies and so on.
I kind of admire that, to be honest. I admire when an actor does that, because it's like, you know what? Why put yourself through that? At some point, you acknowledge where you're at with your career, and you go, yeah, I'm either going to have a big resurgence at the very tail end or whatever. I made a bunch of money. And I'm really into raising these kids, and I think I'm going to focus on that. I don't need to be on TMZ every day. I don't need, you know, the attention. And I admire it when it happens.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I think it is, though, you know, sometimes you decide that you're leaving, you're done with show business, and sometimes the world decides that you're done with show business.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But being able to accept that, if it's the world deciding, that's okay, too. Just go, well, all right, I guess that's my cue. I'm going to. And not let it kill you, not let it destroy you, that your ego is so fragile that you can't be the popular thing anymore. Like, right. I think that's a rare gift in Hollywood. Yeah.
At the same time, my last memory of Freddie Prinze Jr. on screen is in Boston Legal.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, had the great character Denny Crane.
Yeah.
And he played Denny Crane's son, Donnie Crane.
Yeah.
And it was a ridiculous goof. It was a total farce of a character. And at that moment, you have to go, oh, wow, you've really fallen from starring in major films. And, you know, so it's like he was definitely getting knocked down for some reason, for being too pretty or whatever.
Yeah, it could have been tall poppy syndrome. Yeah, where you're just too popular and then you just become the target.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Could be,
because he was hot for a minute, man. I mean, everything, every time he turned around.
Yeah, but if you think about the body of work, it's not great. I mean, Scooby-Doo.
Oh, no, we've seen him on FilmSack before, and he was kind of crappy in Wing Commander.
Yeah, him and Matthew Lillard were both in Wing Commander, and that's not a great movie. I'll tell you what, though, of the entire cast, the one that I find other roles most interesting is Matthew Lillard. He's done amazing body of work, so and good. My favorite thing recently was the second season of Goliath on Amazon Prime. Is a weird season, but he plays this character in there that is super interesting and really well kind of fleshed out. And I was like, oh, I could go for more of him like right now. Like, this is an interesting actor at an interesting point of his life. This is not Shaggy at all. This is like a serious mobster business. He's great in it. So
he's got a fallback plan now, too, because he is welcome any day of the week. Back into any Hanna-Barbera production of Scooby-Doo to voice Scooby-Doo. So, I mean, he's got a lifelong, you know, job if he wants it.
Does he do voice stuff that's not connected to the live action movies? Has he done that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. For example, Supernatural did a weird crossover episode.
Yes. I love that episode.
Mm. You've seen it? It just came out a couple months ago.
Well, But do you not watch Supernatural every week?
No, like everyone else on the CW alive now.
You don't.
I just watched
it this past week.
I watch seasons of TV shows 2 years later in the whole season when Netflix gets them.
Yeah, but there's still a ton of people like Dunaway still. We just forget
then
they're
why
there.
Do I have an antenna in the air and I'm watching Supernatural on my DVR? Man.
No, Randy's misinformed. While it's true this we are a growing population and I'm with him, that's how I do it too. Mm-hmm. There is still millions of people who watch shows.
Man, I'm so excited about the new season. Yeah. Every new thing that's coming on this fall. So
I would love to see HBO completely end the world by releasing the entire last season of Game of Thrones all at the same time. All productivity would come to a stop.
Yeah.
We would all sit and watch 13 hours of television.
It would be like the national holiday, basically. Like, kids, the grocery stores are still closed. People still watching Game of Thrones.
Yep. Economy
will
take a hit.
And that's the thing. Because TV now is more of this like cultural come together thing than it's ever been. I go to the office on a Monday morning and say to my coworkers, "Hey, what did you watch this weekend?" And we did not watch something that came out as one episode live on television. We all watched something that was just released Friday night as a season. You know, like that's just what everybody seems to be doing.
Yeah.
Except for Brian.
No, I except for you. You mean?
No, I do it. Yeah, except for me too. But I do. Yeah, I do both.
Oh, I totally.
You guys know I watch a lot of TV. You guys know I watch a lot of TV, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. You're a TV guy. God, yes.
Well, you mostly just have it on Blu-ray and special editions.
Right. I have that too.
I want to say one thing about this episode of Supernatural, though, because it is the return of Matthew Lillard and Frank Welker to those voices. It is an animated thing, right? So the Supernatural guys fall into an episode of Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm.
It has Kate Micucci as Velma.
Oh, I like her.
And yes, I know, and she's perfect.
Mm.
She's great. Yeah. If you're not familiar, she that show. What's the one with the baby that you hooked me up with, Scott?
Raising Hope. Yeah, she's great.
Raising Hope. Yeah, she's great in that. She's part of Garfunkel and Oates, the music group.
Yep.
There she was on Big Bang Theory for a while.
She voices Sadie in Steven Universe.
Yeah,
she looks like Velma.
She's a little pixie that looks like Velma. Like she's a hoot. I like her a lot. I had no idea she played her. And also you'd look at her and go, "Aw, you look 16." She's 38. Like she's just one of those people that never ages. Like she'll always be.
That's amazing.
12. But anyway, that's interesting. I had no idea she was involved in any of that stuff, but I do like her. Anyway, what was the point there? He's also on Bosch. Hold on a second.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Matthew Lillard was on Halt and Catch Fire for a season. He was on Bosch. He was on The Good Wife. He was in the last season or this most recent season of Twin Peaks, which was fantastic. And he's great and weird and you know, fantastic.
And I never knew. I always wanted to ask Scott, about 20 years ago in your neck of the woods, was SLC Punk a thing?
Oh, it was huge. Yeah, people love that. Okay. People revere that movie here. SLC Punk, which came out in 1998. So it's a little older. I don't actually associate it with it. To me, it feels so far away from any of the other things we know him from a mainstream point of view. So like Scooby-Doo feels like 600,000 miles away from SLC Punk in terms of time and space. Mm-hmm. But it really isn't that different. This is kind of early in his career. It's late 90s. And that movie is a local, at the time anyway. I don't know how it is. I don't know how it's perceived today. But anybody who was growing up during that time, or even if you were in your 20s in that time, that was like a huge deal around here. We love that.
Can we also talk about the only IMDb listing I've ever seen where five different people play the same lead singer of a band that's Brian Ebbett's favorite band?
That was great. Sugar Ray?
Yeah.
Sugar Ray.
Oh, yeah,
what
Sugar Ray.
What do you mean, like, five different people are playing?
They're all Sugar Ray.
The band is called Sugar Ray. The lead singer is Mark McGrath. It's
right,
not,
sure.
But we all call him Sugar Ray. You know we do.
Like, yes, we do.
It's like Alice Cooper. There is no person named, there now is, like, I think Vincent Furnier finally did just say, screw it, I'm changing my name to Alice Cooper.
Yeah,
but
he'd had enough.
There's no Leonard Skinner. There's no Pink. There's nobody named
Pink
Floyd.
I've never felt like it was a Leonard Skinner, but I have always thought that was Sugar Ray. I'll be honest with you. I'll be along with it.
Are they the four posts?
I'm just talking about the IMDb listing, because I've never seen an IMDb listing where it's and starring Charles Stan Fraser as Sugar Ray. Craig Bullock as Sugar Ray, Matthew Murphy Kargis as Sugar Ray, Mark McGrath as Sugar Ray. I'm like, oh, I know that one.
That's a weird one. So let me ask you this: this is the Four Post Bed band, right? That's their song that is famous.
Every morning there's a halo hanging on the corner of my girlfriend's four post bed.
Yeah, that one.
Okay, that's the one. All right, I don't care about that band at all. So
what?
So yeah, seeing them in here.
Yeah, talk about being hot for a minute. They were hot.
Don't you just want to fly?
I mean, they were like this bad. It wasn't like Ska. It was like rip-off Ska.
There was a couple of summers that you could not escape them.
I agree. Like, they were like an oil that you couldn't get out of your carpet.
This movie just happened to be filmed during one of those summers. I mean, look at the cross-section of this film, and you've got Pamela Anderson. You've got that, you know, aside from Sugar Ray, you've got that style of music that was popular for about 18 minutes.
Yeah.
You've got, I mean, it is such a... It's a movie where if we didn't know this was made in you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, we would have said, wow, they really jammed everything about the late 90s, early 2000s into this film on purpose. But it just happens that it was.
Yep.
And I actually, I want to defend this guy. I think Mark McGrath is a really good singer for this particular style of music.
Sure.
I find him very compelling. Like I've been to see a Sugar Ray concert. They were not on the top of the bill, but they were like, I don't understand the hate for Sugar Ray. It's perfectly
good.
I
don't think anybody on here hates him.
I don't hate him. No, I just don't like the band. I don't like the music. Never did. Don't know why.
That's okay.
That's the thing. Like, I have this whole category in my head called beach ska reggae.
Yeah,
and
I see that.
Beach ska reggae is a very peculiar and wonderful thing to just put on and have playing while you're.
See, that's why this is where we diverge.
BCR.
This is where we diverge because this is my problem. You're gonna go ska, go all in. If you're gonna go reggae, go all in. Don't come in here and mush them all up. It just sounds like garbage. That's why I don't like it. That was my biggest problem.
And I know you would love this. He made an album in 2009. Called Music for Cougars.
Yeah,
I have the album.
And I think Mark McGrath is
funny, actually.
Yeah. I think he's amazing to watch too. As a performer, you got to admit he's fun to watch.
Is he though? I don't know. I liked him in The Green Eyes. That was cool. Other than that,
yeah.
Would Harvey Danger be a second bill ska beach? What was it? Was beach ska reggae?
Yeah. Let's see. Harvey Danger. Hold on.
Flagpole Sitter.
Oh,
yes, Flagpole Sitter is great.
Yeah, that's the era. That's the stuff.
Real Big Fish or,
what else was there? Who were the guys that went, I can't think of any names right now. The 90s bands that all sounded the same.
Gwen Stefani?
No, listen, the early they were really ska and great. They kind of diverged later. I agree, but
Okay. So I'm just looking at a playlist that I made a long time ago and it's got... It's got Smash Mouth and Supercat, Everclear.
Everclear is another great example of this. Yeah,
it's got Gin Blossoms, Third Eye Blind, Uncle Cracker.
You know what's great? These songs have finally fell into mall music. So
yes,
absolutely. You'll be walking the mall in this kind of music display.
It's got Matchbox 20, Eve 6, Spin Doctors. There's just a thing that's just always it always works. It's always acceptable. You can just put it on.
Mm-hmm. No,
you think
turn
it is,
off.
But people are really just rolling their eyes.
You can just turn it off, is what I'm saying. I'm never going to turn it on again. I'm only going to turn it off. It was a weird time.
I'll bet in 10 years you're like, oh, I just found this great Spotify playlist of like all these '90s songs, and it just takes me.
Oh, I love
created by Randy Deluxe.
One of my favorite times in music is the '90s. It's just that particular offshoot didn't do it for me, and I don't know why.
I had trouble settling in.
Nobody once told me.
Oh my gosh, kill me!
I had trouble settling in on the music in this movie. I loved the music. It just felt like it was so much of it. It sometimes felt a little bit heavy, and I loved it. But it was just so much of it. Everywhere.
I swear there was a bunch of Outkast. Was there a bunch of Outkast in this movie? Or am I just imagining
not a bunch?
Three or four songs. No,
a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know who redid. Who redid the Scooby-Doo song at the top? That was actually kind of a cool cover of it. It was all right.
I just didn't feel like Outkast was around in that early, were they?
I don't know. Outkast? Yeah. 2002? I think we had Outkast by then.
Oh, my gosh. The Baja Men were around.
They didn't let the dogs out in this one. You would think.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. You think that was like a
trivia. I bet there's some trivia there that they couldn't do it. Randy, give us the trivia.
Brian, according to the official listing, there's only one Outkast song or Andre Benjamin or Big Boy song in this entire movie.
Wow. Really? Okay. They missed out.
I remember there being some kind of controversy about the Baja Men who let the dogs out being in another movie. They couldn't use it for this.
Maybe.
I can remember something.
I'm not
that.
Seeing
maybe.
Any Outkast in the soundtrack listing. Am I looking at the
right thing? You must not be because the song Land of a Million Drums by Outkast.
Oh, performed by Outkast. There you go.
Oh, so it's not their song. It's like a what do you call it?
No,
it's
just there's just so much other stuff written by Killer Mike, Sleepy Brown produced. But yeah, I just didn't see it right away.
You know what was a total waste for this movie though?
What?
With Scooby Doo,
what
they did not ever really tie in the Nunez. He was there, but he never really became a true part of the movie.
Wait, who's the Nunez?
Miguel A. Nunez, the voodoo chicken.
Oh,
yeah. He was trying to. He was warning them. He was a warning sign, which they did in the original.
Yeah, but series. He's a MacGuffin, though.
Exactly, he's a MacGuffin, but yeah, I was hoping they would wrap him up a little bit better. He just...
Chicken the bucket.
Yeah, have...
I you think got Nunes on the line.
Chicken once sacrifice in the bucket.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Once that whole thing gets debunked, and that's it. Just like the dude with the
it's true.
The fire with the holograms in it. Once that got...
What's his name?
Yeah. His actor's name or his Ingutuna? Because it was Stephen Grimes.
Ingutuana,
yeah. But his so, name was Ingutuana.
We haven't even talked about how the bad guy, in perfectly normal Scooby-Doo fashion, it's Scrappy-Doo, but we don't know it. It's Blackadder guy. What's his name? Mr. Bean?
Rowan
Atkinson's in this, yeah. Right. So he's slumming it. Here in a Scooby-Doo movie, and
but actually, I was kind of surprised. I was like, "Oh wow, Rowan Atkinson actually looked good. Like he was a good-looking actor.
I love that
when he's not making his bean face. Yeah, he's
yeah.
I like Rowan Atkinson a lot. Enjoyed.
You guys
everything
excited about the new Johnny English Strikes Again coming out?
Kind of.
Did you guys like the Johnny English? I liked it.
Kind of.
I didn't realize there was a new. Oh, I did know that. No, there was a new Johnny.
My English problem with the Johnny English movies and the Bean film adaptations is that they lose some of their British origins in the translation. Because as British comedies go, Bean, Blackadder, that kind of stuff, amazing, really good. And but also quintessentially British. The minute you try to turn some of that stuff into movies, I don't know, you get just Hollywood involved.
I kind of want it. I want it to go more towards spoofing James Bond.
Right.
And it definitely makes fun of James Bond.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really like pull hard enough from James Bond for me.
Yeah. It's a little get smarty for its own good.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which bums me out because I think he's
smarties.
Great.
Get smarties.
I'm looking forward to it, Brian. I love that Emma Thompson is in the film. I'll be there.
Yeah, I'll go. I'll see it. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that guy. He's great. I watch old Bean episodes. Me and my grandma, before she died at age 89. But for years, me and grandma watching old Mr. Bean episodes on PBS and laughing our heads off. Fun. Yeah, it was like this one
hilarious.
There's two memories I have of her. One doing that, and the other, her and I sitting and playing Galaxian on a sit-down cocktail arcade model of Galaxian.
Right.
In her 80s. That's awesome. That was pretty great.
I do worry about the slapstickiness of it, because growing up watching Mr. Bean, I loved it, and I still love it. But you know what? Somebody loved Three Stooges back in the day and thought that was funny.
Yeah.
And for I just don't find it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, I feel like I can, he can get away with things that regular slapstick is the turnoff. Like the things that I hate usually about regular slapstick, for whatever reason, the way Rowan Atkinson does it is really, really funny.
Yeah, he's
his whole thing in Rat Race, I think, you know, he's the unsung star of that movie.
Yeah, he is great in Rat Race. I forgot about that. Yeah. That movie hinges on him and how good he is in that movie.
It absolutely does.
Yeah. It make me want to see it, but only because he's in it. He's also one of the best voices in like Lion King. Like the guy for a while there, that dude was all over the place. Yeah. He was the preacher who was trying to do the four weddings and the funeral wedding, the thing. And he was great in that.
Right. Yeah.
He's just great. Mm-hmm. That guy's great. All right. I got a fun trivia piece here real quick. Frank Welker. We talked about him being the voice of Scooby-Doo in this. Mm-hmm. I didn't know this, in all of the Scooby-Doo cartoons, all of them, he was Fred. Did you guys know that?
No, I didn't know that.
He's been Fred since like day one.
And really?
In this one, they're like, all right, be Scooby now. Frank Welker, I don't know if we give him enough props on this show. That dude's everywhere in everything. Mm-hmm. Like maybe one of the most prolific voice actors of all time, probably. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. If you had like a... you know, a top three or a lifetime achievement, it's got to go to that guy. He's just in every damn thing, and he's done every voice of everything, and he's in modern things and old things and dumb things and great things, and he's just everywhere.
Right.
Well done, Frank Welker. Good job there, buddy.
Yeah.
And then it also says here, I don't know if this is true. It's funny my voice cracked there because what I'm about to tell you. Matthew Lillard says he would scream for a very long time to make his voice all hoarse to do these Shaggy imitations. So he would like spend a bunch of time in his trailers going rah before he came out.
I believe it.
Which everybody was fine with. They're like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
do true. That. Ruin your voice for the future. It's fine. I don't care.
Richard Marx. Do you remember that guy?
The musician, singer? The singer.
Yeah, I hear he's going to be right there waiting for me.
Yeah.
Wherever I go, whatever I do.
I saw an interview with him like 25 years ago where he said he would try to wreck his throat in order to get the rasp
to get
sound
that raspy
that
really
singing.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I can see that. It's a cool
that seems
thing.
Like
that's
a
hard.
Really dumb thing to do as a singer.
It well, does.
Like an unsustainable. Like you're not going to be able to maintain that level of destruction to your throat for a long period of time.
Maybe he knew that he was going to have a very brief peak.
Well, you know what? Good.
Right here.
Yeah. Where is he now? Is my question. What's
the Pechanga Casino Saturday night at 6 p.m.
You know that Yakov Smirnoff,
right? You know James Hetfield of Metallica during the earlier years. He did a lot of damage and mean things to his vocals. But if you listen to his later albums, he got a little more. He went a little smoother sound to save his vocal cords.
I didn't even go far enough down, guys. If you look at Richard Marx's live events coming up, it includes places called the Star Gold Coast. North Star Mohican Casino. I'm not kidding, he's playing in Boston at City Winery.
I actually thought you were joking, so really this is
yes
the,
I didn't reach what far does, enough down
wow. What does oh I did not know this
bums
you
me
respect
out.
For Richard Marx married to Daisy Fuentes. I did not know he was married to Daisy Fuentes.
Okay,
hats off, my friend.
All right, well done. She's a very beautiful volleyball beach player lady. Right? That's her deal?
She was an MTV VJ.
Yeah, but before that.
That was the thing I knew her from.
But what
that
she was famous for was the volleyball beach stuff, and then she got the MTV gig. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that was the
home videos, right?
Put her on the map.
Yeah, she was a lovely woman.
I thought he was married to Cynthia Rhodes. I guess they got divorced.
2015
at some point.
Is when they got married, so.
Oh, okay.
It shows you that even the best balladeer in the world can't hold on to.
Oh, there they are. There's wedding pictures. Oh, they're adorable. He looks all right. His hair is not what it used to be.
He doesn't have the mullet anymore.
No, not even close. Boy, she is.
I'll bet you
gorgeous.
He brings it back eventually.
She's beautiful. He's kind of looks like a little bit of a weed, but she's
he's a weed.
I think he
looks like a handsome guy. He's fine. There's nothing wrong with him.
Yeah, I think he just looks grown in a lab. He doesn't look human.
Grown in a lab.
I have never heard the put down looks I like a either. Weed. That is just the first time in my life I've ever heard that.
Well, you know, you're free to use it anytime you like, if you'd like to use it.
Anyway, let's talk about normal people some more.
Yeah, let's do it. Just regular
Matthew
old people.
Lillard. Let's Matthew get back
Lillard. He's a normal looking guy. He's very compelling,
not,
blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Let's not miss our chance to talk a little bit about Isla Fisher. She was such a revelation in this movie. Wait. Every time she's on the screen, you can't take your eyes off her. I realize her name is a bad, crappy joke, but she was just perfect for this weird little throwaway role.
The Mary Jane character, sure.
I wanted the stinger scene in the credits to not be Scooby and Shaggy eating peppers. I wanted it to be Shaggy and Mary Jane. I don't know why. I just wanted them to be doing something.
In the van?
Oh, she's Rebel Alley in the Arrested Development season 4 thing. I did not know that was her. Oh my gosh. Weird.
Yeah, without the blonde hair, I mean, basically, she's a redhead, and she's been in everything that Apatow I think has made.
Yeah,
if not, it just seems like it. But she's fantastic, like really, really.
And she's and she was in the scene that was the only really part that I felt like was super creepy, and that's when she gets nailed in the face by that branch when they're on the four wheelers, and she looks over at Scoob, and she's like,
"Oh yeah," and pulls her.
Fixes her face. That was super creepy.
Well, it was weird CGI, but
It's weird. Yes, the CGI is kind of bad, but it was effective in how creepy it was. Yeah. Well done for her. I didn't realize that was her at all, and she's come a long way since this weird part on Scooby-Doo. Good job. Did not recognize her at all until you guys are just now talking about her. Just did not even click with me until now. Scooby-Doo, by the way, this film released. Imagine this. This is where my understanding of time and space gets crushed. Scooby-Doo is released the same day as Wind Talkers, which sounds way older, and Born Identity, which sounds way newer.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? O2 is Bourne Identity? Yeah. What the hell? Where did all that time go?
I don't know, Shag.
What the hell, Scoob?
I had quite a Mandela effect with this movie early on. When we first see Pamela Anderson, mm-hmm. I really genuinely thought that she had passed away a few years ago. I was like, oh, wow, Pamela Anderson. That's so cool. Man, rest in peace, Pamela Anderson. And I was just like, wait. She's alive.
She's totally alive, yeah. Mm. But why, by the way, all right, so she hires the Mystery Machine group.
The Mystery Machine group.
Mystery Inc. or whatever they are.
Yeah.
Hires them to get the ghost out of her toy factory. Turns out to be the janitor or whatever, right?
The ghost. Right.
Why does she show up driving the Mystery Machine?
I was curious about that. I mean, it's not unheard of in a team for the people you're working for to show up in your van, but that was kind of weird, I thought.
Wait a minute. Really? Did people ever drive the A team van that weren't the A team?
Right. Mr. T would be like, yeah, while we're getting the bad guys, you make sure to drive our car around.
You come on in. No, I thought that was weird.
No, but that's a trope in a lot of different
keys in the glove box.
I was trying to get over Brian Emmett's impression of Mr. T saying, while we get the bad guys, you drive our car around.
Like I remember times as a kid watching like the Dukes of Hazzard and the Duke boys are in some horrible trouble and Cooter pulls up in the General Lee.
And
you know, like, because like that's a thing. I totally bought it in this movie.
Didn't buy was that the Jenner could afford that really cool cosplay of the Luna Ghost, which by the way is my favorite and the only time it ever really shows up. That's a great character though.
Very visually. Cool character. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that too. I was about to tell you guys a thing. Oh gosh, dang it! Oh, here it is. I thought that Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar met on the scene or met on the set of this film and then got married. I thought that was the thing, and it wasn't. I was so disappointed. Another Mandela effect, I guess. But it was. I saw what you did last summer that they were in together.
What did you guys think about that film?
That's not good. It's a bad horror. It's a bad horror movie.
But I enjoyed it so much.
I loved it at the time. This was back before I'd seen a lot of movies, and it was like, oh, it was exciting and
for comparison.
It was so thrilling.
It felt so new at the time. Yeah. I remember thinking, wow, this is what a fun idea.
Yeah.
Had Scream 2 come out before? I know Scream 1 kind of did this whole resurrection of the jokey horror. New generation of jokey horror films, tongue-in-cheek horror films.
Would you say that's the origin, probably?
I think so. Yeah.
I think you're probably right. Certainly in the modern sense, I can't think of... Because back in the day, it was like Airplane and Top Secret, and that was your form of taking genres and flipping them and making fun of them or whatever. Right. And then Scream was more like this genuinely freaky, scary thing, but... also super tongue-in-cheek
and self-referential.
It did in a smart way, but they didn't just go, okay, wink, wink. They said, okay, we know you're here, but we realize we're in a horror film.
Yeah.
But they never really winked at the audience. Just said they knew that they were in a horror film and that the realities of horror film apply to them.
Right.
Wait, Lillard was in Scream as well. He was in Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer?
Yeah. No. Sorry. That's Freddie Prinze Jr. I Know What You Did Last Summer. But he is also in the one with Freddie Prinze Jr., the one we saw.
Wing Commander.
Wing Commander, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, didn't Wing Commander also have Gary Busey's kid, Jake Busey, in it?
Yes. Did it? Or I remember that wrong. I don't know.
You're remembering Starship Troopers.
We've seen too many.
It might be Starship Troopers. I'm doing this. And by the way, this happened to me really bad the other day, and I may as well just share this here because it also happens to FilmSack, but this will give people kind of a context for why sometimes we conflate these movies. I was watching that Goliath series, finished season 2, and then immediately rolled into new seasons that I hadn't seen yet of Bosch. And then the next day when I tried to recall what I had seen, I had them all mixed up. Like
those two, right? Those two are so easy to confuse.
Yeah, and they're all mashed up to the point that me talking about it was worthless because I was just like, wait a minute, he's not in that.
That's why we watch like careful. We watch a British Bake Off season between stuff like that just to kind of cleanse the palate.
That's a good idea. That's a great idea.
I almost made the mistake of rolling right into Scooby-Doo 2 last night, and I was like, no, I better not do that because I will get so confused.
Yeah, it can happen. You got to be careful there. All right. Well, I think I can do clips now if you guys are in the mood. Oh, there's no, by the way, what gross got out is nothing. Nothing grossed me out. It was fine.
Yeah. That was a lot of slime and snot, but there was, it was.
Yeah, but none of it's all just
really?
like
rated Scrappy-Doo sneezing on everybody, or was Scooby sneezing? No, it was Isla Fisher sneezing on Scooby, right?
Yeah, that didn't bother me. Right. That was fine. Yeah. Who cares? Okay. Like none of that. And just the whole park you brand at the door because everyone's supposed to think grandma's on the plane, but clearly it's a Great Dane wearing a dress and a hat. Like, right. It just, it's too silly for me to find any. I mean, the closest I got was like people going, and then green mist coming out and then people horking it in. That's a little gross. Oh, yeah. But
the whole Sugar Ray giving you their
Sugar Ray gross got up on them.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, man.
I actually want to put a trope alert on that trope, Scott.
All right. Got one. Here you go.
This film maybe leans too much on the paper thin disguise. I realize it's a trope that's like set in the Scooby-Doo universe.
Sure.
But I was just like, I can't enjoy this because the paper thin disguise is so paper thin.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just feel like it could have done better. There are so many other films where I love that trope. That's the thing.
Like, yeah. Have you seen the Mission Impossible series?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it's true. Yes, but I like it. But the case of this is like you said it at the beginning. It's torn from the cartoon in a very literal way. Like the cartoon always did this. The Scooby would dress up as something dumb, or Shaggy would be the lower half of Scooby's upper half, and they'd sneak onto something and confuse everyone about who that tall guy was. And it, like, I feel like they were just assuming we were all cool with it, and it turns out live action is hard.
It just, it reminded me of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, where Indiana Jones puts on a hat and pretends to be a Scottish art collector.
Oh, right.
And I'm like,
right.
I want to go watch that movie.
Yeah.
That's what I want. That's what it made me feel.
You want to see the entire thing. Kim and I were on a little trip for our anniversary, and we saw all of the Indiana Jones movies except for 4 because it doesn't exist. And it was a really good time. And by the way, this has been the craziest thing. This is a good film sack thing to bring up. I had pointed out on Twitter that a lot of people forget, and we've talked about it before, but people forget that Temple of Doom is a prequel, not a sequel. And I am shocked how many people came back and had no idea. People like Chris Metzen were like, I didn't know that.
I could have sworn I brought that up here on FilmSack.
Oh, you totally have.
We talked about it on FilmSack many years ago.
But I didn't know until like late 90s that this was the case. And so many people, including people that I follow and they follow me, that are like published authors. And like I said, Metzen and a few other people like that wrote and said, what? Are you kidding me? Right. I had no idea. And they did a terrible job in that movie of letting you know that this was something that happened before Raiders.
Just the beginning saying, you know, 1930 something.
Yeah, but nobody pays attention to that, I figure, right? Like no one's seeing the date. And they all just assume, well, this is, and that's why I think people thought it was weird. It was like, where's Marion? And you just did the arc. How come you're in India doing this weird thing with this kid and this lady who's annoying as hell? And
Hey.
But I always liked Temple of Doom, but I didn't know either when I was a kid. I had no idea it was a prequel.
I like the idea of the next Star Wars movie falling in front of Force Awakens. I think that would just be fascinating if everybody went to see Star Wars and were like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Why are all these...
I think we've already done that with
the prequel. I was about to say, you know, stop messing around with the order. I already have enough trouble with Star Wars trying to remember.
Enough timey-wimey with the Star Wars series.
Yeah, I think people are skeptical in a way that they haven't been in a while for Star Wars, so we'll see what they do with 9. All right, here's some clips. I have a number of them, and they begin with the wrong location. There we go. Begins with this one. This is Shag and Scoob talking.
Hey, Scoob, that was fun. Let's grab another skateboard and, like, do it again, huh?
He's more... It's almost like he's doing a Casey Kasem impression better than he does...
I mean,
I know it was Casey Kasem.
It's like saying he's doing a really good impersonation of Robin, you know? Right. Super Friends.
Yeah, good point. Good point. But he really nails that, like... Like there's a cadence to it. It's hard to explain. All right, here's something I call it Lover Boy. I don't remember what it is.
I am a lover boy of George Clooney in proportions.
Okay.
No, yeah.
Oh, the janitor.
That was the janitor. Yeah, we're talking about Pamela Anderson. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Line.
George Clooney proportions. All right.
George Cloonian, even. Not even Cloonian? Just George Clooney proportions. George Cloonian.
Got it. Here's an example of Roque.
Roque. Roque.
It's so, I don't know. Scooby's fine in this, by the way. Like, if you're going to criticize this movie, one of the things I can't level at it is the portrayal of Scooby-Doo, the character, is dead on. They got it.
Yeah.
It's good. You know, the CGI could be better, but, you know, they got it.
That is it, exactly. I mean, it's the CGI is so distracting sometimes that you forget that they really do nail the character. They really do.
They also did a really good job blocking all the other actors. Like, they interact with Scooby-Doo really seamlessly for me. I especially noticed it at the end of the film, where both Isla Fisher and Matthew Lillard have to like reach out and touch Scooby-Doo.
Yeah,
and I was like, I don't know what was there, what was actually there. It may have just been, you know, a piece of wood.
Yeah,
but they really pulled off the seamlessness, and it felt like there was a big animated dog.
You know, now that you've said that, it's funny. Usually I'm really, I really notice these kinds of things, and I notice when it's weird. Like, you can watch Roger Rabbit and appreciate what it was for its time, but you can definitely also go, Bob Hoskins is looking the wrong direction, or, you know,
right.
The thing he's holding is wiggling out of control. Like, none of this is working exactly right, but you appreciate the effort. This thing, I never once just went, oh my gosh, that looked so dumb because clearly there's no dog there. As bad as, you know, as early as the CGI is, I agree. It's like they pulled that off. It didn't.
I want to think that they had a little Andy Serkis running around with a dog head and foot pads that they were using as a
insanely skinny arms.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. I was, who's the person who doesn't have arms that would fit behind that dog?
Yeah, and how do you block that stuff out? I don't know how that stuff's done, but it's pretty good for its time.
We'll
give her credit for that. Here's your Blackadder guy.
I was afraid I was going to have to lug those all the way up to the hotel.
Ah, but that's what Spooky Island's all about. Realizing your worst fears.
There you go. Rowan Atkinson doing what he does.
There you go.
Here he is again.
Rawr, rawr, rawr.
All right. That's pretty great.
Rawr, rawr, rawr.
I don't know what it's for, but... I don't know what this is.
Rookapalooza?
Oh, yeah, that annoyed me. Like,
Spookapalooza?
Spookapalooza.
No. Rookapalooza?
Rookapalooza. All right. Here's a clue.
Well, here's a clue. Purple is a fall color. It's the middle of May.
That guy made me laugh. I don't know what his deal was. Do we know? Is he supposed to be somebody I know? Because
You don't know who that is? Yes, Nunes. That's who I was talking about earlier.
Oh, that's who you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of films we watched.
He reminded me of Larry David's buddy on Curb Your Enthusiasm for some reason.
He was DJ in Street Fighter.
Larry.
We've seen him on film.
We've seen many times. Just recently, I think, a couple of months ago, I think we saw something.
Larry. You gonna let him talk to you like that, Larry? Larry. It reminds me of the guy on Larry.
Smooth,
whatever his name is.
Yeah,
I love him, and it reminded me of him. And you're right; he is DJ on Street Fighter. What the crap, dude? Gee Louises. All right, well,
yeah, I love him, but because his only real line in Harlem Nights is "You broke my nose."
Yeah,
the character that he plays in Harlem Nights is literally named "Man with Broken Nose."
That's pretty great.
He's on the whole season of Joey.
Oh
yeah, the whole Spinner. Run,
and he survived to make other things after that, which is amazing.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, rest in peace, Joey.
Yeah, no kidding. I kind of like Joey, but whatever. I don't know what this is.
This place is like uber creepy.
Yeah, rumor creepy.
I don't know. It's into the rumor creepy. He's just so really good with the rubers and the R's and stuff. I liked it. Sorry.
It's such a weird speech impediment. Like, when they're coming up with the way a dog is going to talk for the cartoon, like, we'll just have the only consonant he can start a word with is R. How's that?
Well, because dogs say ruff.
Yeah. Oh, Raggy. Right. Yeah.
Well, they also say barf, barf.
Do they say barf or bark?
They go barf, barf,
barf, barf.
Little dogs do that.
So you said broober.
Uber creepy.
Braggy? You'd call him Braggy. Oh, man.
Bokeh baggy.
All right. They missed an opportunity.
Maybe you've sold me on the R.
Yeah, the R probably works better. All right. Here's a sorry. I don't know what this is.
Sorry, bro.
No big whoop, dog. Yo, did you catch that new vid on the box?
True that. I'm up to stiznuff on all popular trends.
Word.
I thought that was kind of funny. The new vid on the box. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the brainwashing alien, not alien, but whatever, videos that were they were designed to train people who had been infested by the demon face things, whatever all that was. It, that part's hard to explain. I don't want to get into it. It sucks.
It is a weird thing when you actually have actual supernatural stuff mixed in with your fake supernatural stuff on a Scooby-Doo thing. Usually it's all like, oh, he did this with wires, and this was like a little smoke machine that he had hidden behind his cape.
Yep.
But then they actually have like a cauldron of everybody's souls, their consciousness floating around.
Yeah, they broke that rule. I don't think they should have broken that rule. I think that rule matters in Scooby-Doo world. And I understand the temptation in a big movie. It's bombastic summer entertainment. You're trying to, you know, do
it's
that.
Like, and also, it's like having a really good movie series where it's always something kind of cool and earthly supernatural, and then deciding for the fourth movie that you're going to have aliens be the whole source of...
Okay, I get that, but the movie also takes the whole process a little more seriously. And if the entire series had been in this universe, these people would have eventually figured out, oh, all we have to do is walk around demasking everyone, and we will find the person who's been doing the thing.
I also didn't like the spin they took on the team being celebrities. I didn't care for that, because it originally, when they would explain everything, they would explain it to the officials,
right,
the police, or you know, the person who owned the place. But in this one, you know, they would show up, and I didn't care for
that. Like an entourage. Yeah, it was. I don't know why they did that either. Like, go ahead. If you're gonna have these things in the cartoon that just defied disbelief, just go all in on the movie that way. You already got the dog thing, so just do it with everything else. We don't need to. You don't need to explain that, oh, they're famous, that's why there's a big deal, or they're this or that. Like, just simmer down, guys. Make a movie. Simmer down and make a movie. Here's something I wrote called Sorry, Bro. All right, well, here it is.
Sorry, bro.
No big whoop.
Oh, I already played that. Here's this. Yep. Here's great new Scoob burp. Here you go. I'm going to use that all the time. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. That was the dog. And then he's farting. Except that was Matthew Lillard, I think, was farting. Now, I'll bet, Randy, you can confirm this or not. Did your 8-year-old just think that scene was the most hilarious thing he's ever seen?
Not really. It was the movie really lands for my son on things like they're skateboarding while wearing a barrel. And, you know, like things like that are like crazy exciting.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, when they're on the plane and Shaggy flicks him in the nose and then Scooby just overkill punches him.
Yeah.
Like, my kid thought that was good. Really exciting and funny, but not as much on the fart and poop jokes. And I just want to, for the record, all of the Mary Jane jokes right over his head. No idea.
I would hope so. Jeez.
Well, you got to remember, we live in a time now when that stuff is all really normalized. Like it's legal here. It's like, I know my kid's friends' parents are doing marijuana at home.
But I think the term Mary Jane is as out of fashion as jazz cigarette, you know,
I hear that, but the movie is really dripping in marijuana references. Like this movie has 100 marijuana references, and I don't think a single one of them worked. For
Wait, I'm confused. I thought they were referring to the shoe.
Yes.
Did I miss something?
Mary Jane's shoes?
Yeah, it was all about her shoes. You're right.
Yeah. Nailed it.
It was a star. It was a Spider-Man reference. That's what that was.
I got to go back and watch the whole thing now.
That's fine. Just don't do this. All right. How about this one? Oh, I thought Fred was a little pervy toward the end, and here's proof.
I can look at myself naked.
All right, Fred. Calm down, buddy. That's nothing Fred would say. The real Fred would never say that, ever.
Yeah.
It is a little sexual harassment if you switch bodies with a woman and the first thing you do is look down her shirt.
Yeah.
I've seen better dubbing in Godzilla movies. That was not good.
You didn't think that was great?
That was not great.
All right.
I can look at myself naked.
He sounds like he's in a room somewhere.
He was. I'm sure he was.
He's supposed to be out in the forest.
I guess everyone's in the room somewhere at some point doing the thing they do. All right. Hey, what's this? It's the film sack checklist, the fee sack. Terrible CGI, check. Humans are dumb and think a dog looks like a grandma, check. And finally, still kind of got a crush on Sarah Michelle Gellar, check. I find her fascinating. I think she's great. Trek Connection, there is one, and it is Frank Welker, who we talked about before. He does creature voices and the voice of Scooby-Doo in this. He provided Spock's screams in Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, and voiced this cytoplasmic life form in the Star Trek Voyager episode Nothing Human. He did additional voice work for the video game Star Trek Starfleet Academy, Starfleet Command 2, Empires at War, and Starfleet Command Orion Pirates. Guys,
absolutely shocked that Lillard's never been in a Trek feature.
Yeah, a little bit.
Can't believe it.
Yeah, a little bit.
He just seems like the perfect weird green alien.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few people. I mean, I can believe Freddie Prinze and Sarah Michelle Gellar, but I don't know. I mean, some of these, like the Nunes, the other the bald dude that we were talking about, Antuna Gooey or whatever his name was. Mm-hmm. Gooey Tuna.
Gooey Tuna. So much fun.
He should have been in some sort of Star Trek thing.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Those are those. Now let's get to the Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. Let's begin with Randy Jordan.
I wrote this out. Scooby-Doo. I only have two words for this movie. Zoink Scoob.
Oh, wow. Well, that's pretty good. It's not bad.
How'd you spell that?
Right. Yeah, I'll send it to you. You need to see it.
All right. Brian Dunaway.
That's me, Scooby-Doo, 2002. Like cleaning your beans at Don Knotts' Christmas party. Rut-row, Warner Brothers didn't have the scrote to make this rated R.
Wait, cleaning your beans? Did I hear that right? Was that a Mr. Bean reference?
Yeah, no, they actually said this during the film. They tried to sneak it past you. I think it was Fred. He said he was referencing back. He says, yeah, man. Like that time you got us in trouble cleaning your beans at Don Knotts' Christmas party, talking about Scooby-Doo cleaning his beans. And then later on, the first time I've heard scrote in a film sack movie, when Scrappy-Doo told them they did not have the scrote.
Oh, that's right.
What it took.
Oh my gosh, why didn't I capture that? I
don't know. I was watching for all the nuts and scrotes. You're welcome.
Well, thank you for that. All right, let's now move to Brian Ibbett.
Scooby-Doo. Too much Scooby, too much do.
There was some do.
A little too much of all those things. Well done. Oh, just in. I've just handed this list. These are, let's see, alternate titles. They almost named the movie these two titles. First one was Careful or You'll Get Your Ass Caught.
Uh-huh.
See what they did there with the ascot?
I like what they almost did there.
Yeah, and then last one was lose your glasses four times in about an hour. All right, so there's
in about an hour or less.
Here's the thing.
Yeah. I know there are people who are clumsier than me. I know there are people who are more blind than me. I'm pretty blind. I'm like a negative 4.5.
Yeah.
I have never once had my glasses come off. And then I'm looking around for them with my hands.
I don't think anyone's that blind. Yeah.
I have been wearing glasses since I was 12 years old. That has never once happened to me. And it's still, every time I see it, it just makes me smile.
I've been
it's
wearing
so
them
funny.
Since yeah. I was 4, and I had cataracts at 44 and had surgeries to fix
cataracts?
Those. But even when I had those and I was at my most blind, I wouldn't drop my glasses and not be able to see them or not know that I was grabbing a dude in front of me. Like, it's all bullshit.
I gotta say, I'm the same way. I'm also blind, and I've never dropped and lost them. However, I have taken many naps and woken up and went, where the hell
yeah, and then
glasses?
you lean up and realize you crushed them under your hip or something.
Right. Or you have to ask somebody to help you. I have had to have my my significant other help me look for them. I can't find them. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that happens to me, but that's different. That's different. That's like it's under a cover, it's obscured somewhere. Like if she can't see that well when they're off, there's no way they're helping her see well when they're on. is what I'm saying. Of course there are blind people, obviously. But they can't put a pair of glasses and go, oh, I see fine, everyone's great, how's everybody doing? I've lost them now, everything is completely... It's bullcrap. It's always been that way, it's been bad in the cartoon. I don't know why I'm complaining this vehemently, but I am.
Yeah, I wasn't complaining. Yeah. I think it's really fun and funny. It's like one of my favorite things. It's just so unrealistic. Yeah.
Wait until you see Mr. Magoo.
Yeah, oh, Mr. Magoo is trouble with the blindness, isn't he? He really runs that. He's a... If you're a fan of Eyes, don't watch Mr. Magoo.
Fan of Eyes?
I don't know what I'm saying.
Make eyes. I made your eyes.
Your eyes, too. Rishi B. from Ann Arbor, Michigan wrote in our first email, which comes to filmsack@gmail.com and says, hello, Sacks. Y'all should watch the Watchmen movie because I recently read for the first time the comic and I want to rewatch the movie to compare it against the book. But I have a hard time rewatching movies without incentives like Filmsack episodes. It's on Amazon Prime. Thanks for your time. Consideration and Sacks. Thumbs up. Watchmen. Rishi B. from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Yeah. So I would consider that.
I'd love to watch.
I would totally consider that. Do we know which version is? Because didn't they came out with a version a few years ago that combined the curse of the black, or not curse, but like the black, the stuff that the comic has.
Oh yeah, the Black Flag stuff. Because they released it separately, but then they also included it with the
Blu-ray.
I didn't know that. That's interesting. I wonder what version it is.
They integrated that into the film, which I think is the way you do it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's cool. I don't think I've seen any of that. I've only ever seen the theatrical one. So, and I really like that Watchmen movie a lot. I think it's cool. And I love the comic, so I'm not one of those who hasn't read the comic. I adore the comic, and I think the movie's a fine adaptation, despite a few tweaks, you know, that they have to make. You always make with movies, but I'd watch that for FilmSack. Sure. Let's see how it held up. Mm-hmm. That awkward sex scene up in the owl ship, you know, deal.
Owl ship. Uncomfortable for who?
Yeah. That'll change the song "Hallelujah" for you forever.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Who's up there?
I don't know, man.
Who's the actor in that? He's great. Fargo. The summoning or whatever it is. The summoning. He's in that horror movie series that's got a brand new.
Yeah, which is that's a great series, by the way.
I love that actor,
Patrick Wilson.
And,
right.
He does that. What is the name of that horror film though? I can't remember now. It's not The Conjuring. What's the other one?
The Conjuring. That's it, isn't it?
Is it The Conjuring? Okay, maybe it is.
So, now
I don't think so. Maybe it's not.
Insidious.
I need to see. I've never seen those. I like him.
However, he was in The Conjuring. He's in The Conjuring and Insidious.
Oh, he is. Well, which one of those is set in the 70s or something? Is that The Conjuring?
It's according because it seems like Insidious jumps around. Didn't they have like a backstory that went back to the 70s? So it's hard to say what you're remembering.
I maybe even think of just him and Fargo in 1978, which is what that set in. And he is so good in Fargo. Oh, my gosh. Patrick Wilson, you're great. Let's just do that.
He's going to be in the Aquaman film, too.
Yeah, he's going to be not Aquaman in that.
Right, movie. Ocean Master.
Yeah, Master of the Ocean.
That's right.
Okay, here's one more email we got from Keaton, who says, hi, I'm Batman. Just kidding. He didn't say that.
Yeah.
I've never really had a movie I can say I hated. Obviously, I've had other movies I didn't like or thought were boring, etc. In fact, I can say... I got close to hating Piranha 3D, but some parts were kind of funny. So it stays in the strongly disliked category. But Way of the Gun? Oh boy, I hated that movie. Every character was a total D-bag or creepy or weird or all three. The story had no draw for me. The scenery was dull. The stupidest reductionist worldview one-liners were so awful. I rolled my eyes constantly. The one silver lining... was the decent action scenes, and those were brought down by the fact that I just wanted everyone to catch a bullet so I'd be done with the movie.
I've been there. I've been in movies before. I used to call those movies with no joy. Yeah. And for some reason, the characters bring me no joy, and the story brings me no joy.
Yeah, I get it. And he says this, and this is the important part of his email. Truly the only thing that helped me make it to the end was the promise of a FilmSack episode once I was done. You boys really mine the depths with that one. Keep up the good work as always. Keaton. By the way, I would present Keaton's email as the perfect, I would call that a perfect email. Kind of like I'd say Raiders of the Lost Ark is a perfect film. Mad Max Fury Road, perfect film. Return of the King, perfect film. Like I have all these movies I would consider to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Keaton's email is perfect. It's exactly the kind of email he praised us a lot.
That's the part I like.
He praised us. He's funny.
More of that.
He's funny. He's honest. he tells there's something about
no corrections for something I got wrong. Nothing to complain about.
Yeah, good sentence structure, proper punctuation. I read it without a glitch. It's really good. So well done, Keaton. Everyone be like Keaton. Filmsack@gmail.com is the email address you can use. You can use it anytime you like. That's going to do it for today's show. Filmsack.com is our website. And next week we're going to do what? I don't remember what we're doing.
We're going to watch Seven.
Wait.
Oh, what?
Are we
finally?
Really? Are we watching Seven? Really? We're watching Seven.
Seven.
Wow. What's in the box? Can't
wait to get my gluttony on.
Oh, man.
Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman, Gwyneth Paltrow, directed by David Fincher, 2 hours long. The award-winning Seven, 1995.
And the most popular UPS box in film history.
Film history, yeah.
So head on out to your backyard. And
head on out.
Well done.
Pull that DVD out of the snow and bring it back in.
Oh, yeah. Dunaway knows my sordid history of this film. We'll talk about that next week, a bunch of that. And that's a good. It's our first David Fincher, would it not be? I think it is. Because we didn't do Alien 3, even though we tried once, and it got pulled or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Pretty sure it's our first Fincher, I think. Am I thinking of something?
So,
I can't think
of another Fincher we've done.
Right. I mean, his movies are all kind of great.
So bring your lust for movies and greedily watch this, and you'll be the envy of all wrathful people. Okay, let's do this.
You did it. That was almost all seven of them. Good job.
You couldn't fit Sloth in there, huh?
I got tired, actually.
So you did fit Sloth in there.
We didn't watch Zodiac.
No, we didn't see. I love Zodiac. Oh my gosh, what a great movie.
Me too. Yeah, I don't see. Everything else is all music videos. Like a lot of music videos.
That Zodiac one is all about Senator Ted Cruz from Texas, isn't it?
It is, but it was before he was a senator and before he was an American.
Oh, it's when he was killing dudes. Right. It's when he murdered people. I got it. Okay.
We watched the game.
The game. Oh, that was like one of his earliest, wasn't it? Post video, yeah. Post music videos.
One of our earlier ones, too.
One of our earlier ones, yeah. And Panic Room, we didn't watch yet, right?
No. I forgot that was him. Forget that was Panic. Mm-hmm. Panic Room was even his. We didn't ever see what's rolling with Gilbert's Grape. No, that's not his movie. What am I thinking of? Who's older than Brad Pitt today? What's the name of that movie? I'm growing younger.
Oh, Benjamin Button.
Benjamin Button. That's what it is.
Who's older than Brad Pitt today?
I can't think of the name. I still haven't ever seen that. So if that ever comes around,
I just watched it this past year. I actually enjoyed it.
People like that movie, I guess. I don't know. Some people don't. I'm sure.
Some people complain about it. I thought it was all right. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I like what's her name. So kind of in on her anyway.
What's her name?
Her name is really good.
Old what's her name?
Maybe the best she's done.
She's the elf queen. I can't think of her name all of a sudden. That's how much I like her.
Helen Mirren?
Helen Mirren. Helen Mirren's not the elf queen. She's the queen.
She's the queen.
Right. What's her name?
Frickin'
gosh dang it. She's in that new Jack Black magic movie.
Here comes.
She's in all sorts. She's won many Oscars.
It's not a magic movie, though. It's the clock in the wall. Come on.
The Ocean's 8 lady. She's one of the Ocean's ladies. She was Frodo. I've done it. I can now go to Gladriel or whatever. What was her name?
Kate
Blanchett.
There you go.
Frick. That was painful, you guys. It was like a giant. It was like getting a giant poop out.
Fun for me.
It's like a pine cone trying to pass it through your colon. All right, we're done. Filmsack.com.
Wow.
Filmsack.com is our website. I know, right? But if it goes
which way, though, is the question. Which way you're passing that pine cone?
It doesn't matter, Brian.
Against the grain. That's trouble.
Woo.
Yeah, you'll leave some seeds if you know what I'm saying. Filmsack.com is. I'm going to shut up now. Filmsack.com is our website. Filmsack@gmail.com is the email address if you'd like to communicate with us directly, or you can do it right there on the site, and you can find us on Twitter @FilmSack. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
Ruh-roh.
Why can't you be more like Keaton?
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Okay.